Praise the Lord. You serve a sweet God. Amen. Thank you, praise singers, magicians, musicians. It's magic to me, but love you guys. Awesome job. We're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. There's hardly ever a week that goes by that we don't get a text from Brother or Sister Carcamo. For example, this last weekend, the Sunday that just passed, they had four get the Holy Ghost and get baptized. Almost every week, they are baptizing people. Our Spanish church is running a strong 80, and they're bumping 100. They fluctuate in that area. I'm just thankful for what the Lord is doing. I know that there's going to be a powerful Spanish-speaking apostolic church in this city. And you say amen. Amen. And we are eagerly and readily going forward with planning other planting churches. We're going to be talking to you about that here in the near future. Location, we're going to be doing another English, just like we are multicultural. There's 2 million people in this county, and we need churches. You know, we need churches every area of this county. You know, we're over here on the west side, and I realize we've got people coming from the east, but how much better if we had a church over there to reach them, running 200 or 300, 400 people, and then we'll shoot to the north, and we'll shoot to the south, and then the Lord will come, and we all go home, right? That's how it works. Amen. We want to take as many with us as we can. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. We'll read verses 1 and 2. We'll pray. I'll let you be seated. And then I want to continue to read some verses. I'm sorry, Sister Dawn. I forgot to get this to you. Just do your best, follow along. And you always do an incredible job, so that won't be a problem. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to the faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Now look what Paul says in verse 2. "I have taught you. I want you to teach others so they can teach others." Now that's the layout that Paul just gave right here in these two verses. However, he made it plain to Timothy, unless you learn what I've taught you, you can't teach others. And if you don't teach others, they can't teach anyone. So I want to talk to us tonight. I sort of want to carry on what we spoke about last Wednesday, which was everybody is needed in the kingdom. So tell your neighbor, the kingdom needs you. The kingdom needs you. And we've got to get that in our mind and in our heart. And I don't mean just showing up for church. And thank God you do. Otherwise, I couldn't get an offering from you. I'm glad we show up for church. But I, as an individual, need to make up our mind that I'm more than just a member of the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. I am a part of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom needs me. It's why God brought you into the kingdom. He wants to use your abilities and your talents, and you have them. And I know you have them because God gave them to you. He breathed them into you when he breathed the breath of life. Every one of us, we have a purpose in God's kingdom. We need to find that purpose And until we may find the purpose, if you want to define it that way, do all kinds of purposes. Just do for the kingdom of the Lord. So I am needed in the kingdom. The kingdom needs me. But tonight, I want to talk to us about preparing ourselves for the work of God in our life. Preparing ourselves for the work of God in our life. Father, we come to you tonight. I pray that this teaching will flow from your word into our hearts and our minds. And God, that in our minds we will understand it. In our hearts we will fall in love with it. And we will become compassionate about preparing ourselves for the work in the kingdom. For what you, Father, have in store for us. You see our tomorrows. So help us in our todays that we can make ourselves ready. And everybody say amen. Say, Lord, I will prepare. Lord bless you. You can be seated. So we clarified the fact that everybody is needed in the kingdom. There's not a single one of us that is an exception. It doesn't matter who you are, or what you do for a living, or how complicated your life is. And I know that we live in a very complicated generation. A lot of things going on in our lives. But there are no exceptions. Every single one of us are needed in the kingdom. Paul the Apostle talks about this in several other places of the Word of God when he deals with the body. He says, not only is every part of the body needed, but every part of the body is just as important. And you say, well, no, my heart is more important than my little finger. So Paul the Apostle says, that's fine. You don't say it just this way, but this is kind of what he means. Go pick up a sledgehammer and smash that little finger. And tell me who you going to think about. Your heart? Probably because of the pain. Or are you going to be thinking about that little finger? Paul was trying to make a point that every part of the body, even though we don't continuously recognize it, it is functioning in the body. And because it's functioning in the body, everything works. But the moment it stops functioning properly, all of a sudden it gets our attention, doesn't it? Have you ever hurt one of the fingers on your hand? And then it seems like everything that you do, you now realize you use that finger to do it, but you never recognized that before. Or whatever part of the body that it may be. You might pull some muscle somewhere and you go to sit down and you hurt. You go to get up and it hurts. You roll over and it hurts. Whatever chore you try to do, you never had a clue that that muscle was used in all of these different functions that you moved and did every single day of your life. Why? Because it just worked in the background. It did its function. But the moment it got out of order, everybody noticed that something's just not right. And so our goal is to somehow to get the body of Christ back functioning where every one of us is doing what God has called us to do. Because right now, we live in so much chaos, we think chaos is normality. The church is not functioning the way it needs to function, because we're not doing everything that we need to do. We're almost like some patients that are maybe living on a breathing machine. We're alive and we're breathing because the major organs are still alive, but so many other parts of us are not really working right. We got so used to being that way that we think that's life, that that's normal. It's the way the church functions. But if the day ever came that every single one of us found our place and got busy in the kingdom of God and begin to do what we were called to do, it would blow our minds how the church would begin, the impact the church would begin to have in the city, in our families, our lives, and everything else about us. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. God, you got to help us. Lord, you got to help us. You got to help us. And so we first have to come to the revelation about what we talked about last Wednesday night, and that is, I am needed in the kingdom of God. God put you in his kingdom because there is a function. There is a function. And everyone knows that it's the old rule. It's so common that it literally became a rule, or like a cliche. And that is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work in God's kingdom. We have to change that. That was never meant to be in the kingdom of God. It was meant in the kingdom of God that everybody did their part and that there was no lack. So you must ask yourself, what am I doing in the kingdom of God? You must do that. You must do that tonight. You must say, what am I doing in the kingdom of God? What is my function? Or am I just coming to church? Or is there a function? Is there something more that I can do? It's not too hard, is it? We okay? I just feel like I whipped my child and threw him in his room and punished him. Y'all all right? We okay? All right. Felt real bad there for a minute. Just a minute. So Timothy, Paul goes on in Timothy that take what you've heard of me amongst many witnesses. So Paul's saying, you heard it of me, but you also heard it of others. We're two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So take what you've heard of me among many witnesses. Take that and commit it to faithful men, who then in turn will commit it to other faithful men. It's how the kingdom of God works. I'm going to continue in Timothy chapter 2 for a little bit. I want to read some verses and then talk about a few things tonight. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not easy being a part of the kingdom. There's difficult times and parts. There's sacrifices, things we have to give up, pleasures that we do not indulge in. And then there's pleasures that are perfectly fine, but we sacrifice them because of a Bible study, or we want to open our home to bringing people in to teach the Word of God. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life. You know, all of this is good teaching, but I just want to read through it because there's a point that I want to get to. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, if he wants to be the best of something, yet he is not crowned except he does it right. You got to strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Look at verse number 15. So Paul the apostle talks about, receive what I've given you, give it to others. They can then give it to others. There's hardships, there's ways about how to do this. And then he says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Rightly, he said, study the word of God, prove yourself to God, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly divide the word of God. And then he goes on to talk about great leaders, men that had this word, who have erred in truth, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Just stay with me for a few more minutes. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctify and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. Somebody say, I must prepare myself for the good works of God. If you don't, you're going to fall in error, believe things that are not true. Flee also youthful lust, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that all they do is just stir stuff up. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, be patient, meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preaventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul the apostle is saying to Timothy, we have a world that is lost and dying. Men and women who are deceived and blind to their own destruction. And the only way they're going to be saved is if somebody prepares themselves with truth. Divide the word of God in your life. Learn this thing. Get it in your heart. Make yourself ready, so that we can reach the lost. So somebody say, everybody is needed in the kingdom. Then say, I must prepare myself for God to use me. Now, most of our preparation, and I know because I'm the preacher today, but I used to be you. Most of our preparation in the kingdom of God is coming to the church and let mean preachers like me preach like this to you.
And then you go home, and that is the full amount of your preparation. You don't do anything beyond that. But I'm here to tell you that there is a gold mine on the inside of you. And if you'll get into the Word of God and begin to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, rightly divide the Word of God, study to show yourself approved, a workman not to be ashamed. You begin to get this in your heart and you get this in your life. And I'm here to tell you today that God will begin to open up doors in your life that you never dreamed of. The reason why those doors aren't coming open is you are not prepared. Why should God send someone to you if you've got nothing to say? You've got nothing to say because you haven't learned anything. You haven't bothered to go beyond your 1 hour in the house of God. We must get hungry for God's word and begin to prepare ourselves for his work. There's all kinds of people and things out there that they just go right by you. They go right by you. God knows they have a need. God knows they need to be taught. God knows they need to be touched. But you haven't made yourself ready. You haven't rightly divided the word. You're not a workman, not to be ashamed. We begin to prepare ourselves, prepare our heart and our mind. You're not going to be able to get 50 feet down a sidewalk somewheres, and somebody's going to grab you by the arm and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I'm just thrown to you. Why? Because you've made yourself ready. And God knows that. And you'll become a magnet to the hurting and the hungry of this world. We live in a generation, we got to get over this. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's about to return for a church and a people. And I believe that there's a whole lot more people out there that God intends to bring with him to heaven. We kind of raised in a generation that it's only the preacher that prepares. It's only the man of God that studies himself. No. Somebody say, everybody is needed. Everybody must prepare. Put your hands together for the Lord. He said, Timothy, you have to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It's work. It's work. Ladies, you got to put down the romance novel. Your husband ain't never going to become that hunk in that book anyway. You got what you married, now go love him. That's what you married. Sister Sam's, that's what you marry. That's just the way it is. Deal with it. Aaron's who you got. Bald head, almost losing hair, real short and skinny. And sit down, Aaron. I'm messing with him. We got to put that aside. And we got to crack that book open. And I'm not just reading. I'm preparing. Because I don't have the scripture in my notes here tonight, but there's another verse where the Bible says that, or maybe I do have it in there. I probably won't get to it, so I'll say it now. But that we are to be ready to give an answer for what we believe if we're asked. So, and somebody walked up to you right now. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Don't get scared, Gigi. Somebody walked up to you right now and said, why do you believe there's only one God? Is your answer going to be, well, because there's only one. Everybody knows that. Or is it going to be, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord,
thou shalt serve him, and him only shalt thou serve or worship? Or is it going to be that no God beforehand? Listen, are you going to start quoting verses that you have? You don't have to quote them verbatim. You don't have to learn them verbatim. That would be fine and good. But the main thing is that you know the word of God. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel talk about it. Paul the apostle, there's always only been one God. We need to be ready. Someone walk up to you and they say, now, why do you people baptize in Jesus' name? Why do you do that? Don't you know Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore on all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So why do you baptize in Jesus' name? What's the matter with you? Why do you do that? Why are you disobeying God? Now listen, if you don't know the Bible, and if you haven't studied and made yourself approved, you ought to be able to respond to that. Because you're not wrong, they're wrong. They're not rightly dividing the word of God. You've got to get in that book and follow all the way through. I don't have time to do a Bible study on baptism tonight. But you ought to be able to respond to that. You ought to be able to say, well, first of all, understand the Bible says the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's obvious Father, Son, Holy Ghost are titles. But more importantly than that, what we need to look at is who was Jesus talking to? Well, he was talking to his disciples in chapter 24, verse number 45 says that Jesus opened up the understanding of the disciples that they might understand all scripture. Somebody say all scripture. And when Simon Peter, who was given the keys to the kingdom by Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, when he baptized in the name of Jesus. And the reason why he did that is because he had divine revelation of the Great Commission, of the command. He knew the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have to be able to open up your mouth and use scripture, not opinion, and not religious belief, but the word of God. But not just grabbing scriptures. Well-learned men can grab scriptures and make almost anything sound like anything, I guess. But you have to use the word of God rightly and balanced, dividing it correctly, not pulling scripture out of context. We must prepare ourselves to be used of God. God is growing impatient with some of us. He is waiting on us to prepare ourselves so that he can use us. He's not interested in us being members of the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. He wants us to be a member of the kingdom of God. So he said, study. Everybody say, study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now he commands us to go. I've got to hurry. Mark 16:15. He says, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you should go. And so he commands us to go. He'll give us what we need. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the othermost parts of the earth. So he commands me. He commands you to go. Go work in the kingdom. Go spread the gospel. Go teach the gospel. Go do what I've called you to do. I'll give you the power to do it. You don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about the devil. You don't have to worry about witchcraft. You don't have to worry about voodoo. You don't have to worry about any of that mess. I'm going to put my anointing on you. I'm going to give you my power. You're going to have everything you need to do it. What you need to worry about is getting your mind and your heart prepared to do the work of God. That's the only hindrance. The commandment to go has already been given. You've already, and I have already received the power. What's the hold up on the wagon? I'll tell you what it is. I'm not prepared. People like to use that verse. Oh, don't worry about that. Jesus said, just open your mouth and I'll fill it for you. He's going to fill it with hot air. You ain't got nothing in here. Or in here. No, what he means is, I'll bring back to your remembrance. I'll bring up out of you everything that you've put in. Don't freak out. If you study to show yourself approved, if you prepare to be used of God, when that moment comes, you don't have to freak out. He'll start bringing everything back. He'll put it in order for you. You'll sound like the greatest teacher on the planet Earth. You know why? Because you are. Because the author is in you. And when you open your mouth, it's him that's going to begin to speak. Commands us to go, gives us the power to do it. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," what? "Have shined in our hearts to do what? To give light." Now how are you going to give knowledge if you don't have any? My people are destroyed because of lack of. We've got to study, show ourselves approved. We have got to prepare ourselves. There's not some of us called. We are all called. There's not one person hearing my voice right now that is not called of God, that doesn't have a purpose in your life that God wants to do through you. Don't you tuck the head. Don't get depressed. Don't get all down and out. Don't try to. You just get in the Word of God and let God begin to flow through you and see what God will do in your life. Don't walk around saying, "I don't have the ability or the talent." I got news for you. The most talented and the one with the most ability in this church cannot save a single soul. Only God can do that. Only God's word can do that. He said, "For God who hath commanded light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the Bible teaches us to prepare ourselves. Somebody say it. We are all needed. We must all prepare. I'm telling you, when you leave here tonight, it needs to be on your mind. Oh my God, I feel so far behind. I've got to get going. I got to get this thing. I got to get in this thing. Don't prepare for some certain thing. You don't know what God wants in you yet. Just get in the book. Where do I start? Start in the Bible. Just open it up. Go to the book of Acts. If you want a place to start, I'll tell you. Go to the book of Acts. Learn about the birth of the church. Then go backwards and study the Gospels. Then go forward and study the epistles. Leave Revelations alone until you've been in the rust of it for about 15 years. Because I want to tell you, everybody else in the book of Revelation is talking about the nine-headed creatures. Don't have a clue what they're talking about either. Those things were given. Prophecies and revelations and Ezekiel and Revelations and the other books where it talks about the end time. It is given to us, only certain men to know and understand. And then they were told to seal the books until the end. It's given there so that we know that God has everything in control and we don't need to fear anything. But my calling and your calling is to save the lost. Don't get wrapped up in junk. Don't get all caught up in things of this world and of this life and get all wrapped up in it. And it takes your mind and your heart and your time and your spirit and everything about you. And when it's all said and done, it's going to go to the dust like everything else on the earth. The only thing that you're taking with you is a soul.
You want to get wrapped up in something? Get wrapped up in God. Get wrapped up in the Word of God. Get wrapped up in witnessing. Get wrapped up in working in the kingdom of God. Nothing will bring you more pleasure than when you begin to teach God's word and you look across that table and that hungry soul is trying to reach out and just pull from you what it is that you're delivering. Nothing gives you more joy. Nothing does. Our young men, our young women, you need to get busy with this. The Bible teaches us to prepare ourselves. Everyone say, everybody's needed. Say, the kingdom needs me. Say, I must prepare. I'm telling you. You start seriously just getting in this word, preparing yourself, knowledge of the word of God. He'll just start opening up doors in your life. And the day's going to come, you're going to walk in, Sister Rosemary, and you're going to come on that row where you're at, and somebody else is going to be sitting on that row, and you're going to say, oh, this is my row. And then 20 people are going to walk in behind you that have been prayed through and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, God will do that for you. And dear Lord, what too long ago Sister Kelly was filling up three rows. I had to pray 9 families through because all these precious souls came in and took their places where they've been sitting all this time. I had to pray them back through to the Holy Ghost. They get the victory so somebody could get saved. Dear God, God forbid that a sinner is going to sit in your seat. Well, you're the good people. You don't get mad about anything, so I won't beat you over the head. Matthew 15 and 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Do you know what your saltiness is? It's not your jig in the altar. It's not the goosebumps that go down your back and the good feeling that our precious and merciful and graceful Lord allows us to feel even though we live like. Your saltiness is only one thing, and that's you representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And if you lose that, God says, you are of no value. No value. You want to be valuable in the kingdom of God? I do. Then we need to make sure we stay salty. And how do you stay salty? Through the word of God, staying prepared, and touching the lives of other people, making them thirsty for Jesus Christ. That's your saltiness. And if you're not doing that, you're of no value to the kingdom. Now, don't be offended by what I'm fixing to say, because I love our singing. But that's not your saltiness. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the talent on this platform, but that's not your saltiness. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the leaders in this church and our teachers and all the things we do,
But that's not your saltiness. Our saltiness is reaching the lost with this gospel. And if we're not doing that, we are of no value to the kingdom. So somebody say, everybody's needed. And say, I must prepare. Chapter 25. I'm going to try to think of something really happy and joyful to teach next Sunday. Next Wednesday. So come back. Then shall, 25 and 1, Sister Dawn. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They that were foolish were the ones that just come and shout in the church and have a good time in the house of God, but never accomplish anything when they walk out the doors. The wise, when they walk out the doors, their lamps are shining just as bright as they shined when they were in this altar talking in tongues. That's the wise. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Acts 22 and 15. I'm just talking about that the word of the Lord tells us to prepare. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Somebody say, I need to prepare. How are you going to be a witness to all men? By things you have seen and heard. Now, how do you and I see and hear? We hear through the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. We hear through the word of God. We see, well, by the miracles and the things that God does, and we can certainly be a witness concerning all of that. And so, for thou shalt be as witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Acts 4 and 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You cannot talk about things you have not seen or heard. You cannot talk about things you have not learned. You cannot talk about things you have not experienced. You cannot talk about things you have not studied. You cannot share things you have not put into your heart. We must prepare ourselves for the sake of men. Men and women that are dying in this world. We are the only salt on the earth. We must get in the word of God. We must prepare ourselves. We must study. The kingdom needs you. And you must prepare to be used by God. We're not used because we do not prepare ourselves to be used. We don't do it. We just go home. That's all we do. We go home. We entertain ourselves. We go to work. We come home. We're tired. We go to bed. We get up. We go to work. And then we come get a shot in the arm for those of you faithful enough to be here on a Wednesday night and be beat. That's what God does to the good. You know that, right? You know what the word says, right? He doesn't put wood in the fire. Because you put wood in the fire, what happens? It burns. And then you ain't got wood. You got ashes. So God don't put wood in the fire. What does he put in the fire? Gold and silver. Because he wants to make you better. He likes what he has, so he gets the scissors out and he prunes. And he cuts branches off and excess off. And so that's what he's doing tonight. I'm blaming everything happening tonight on God. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. Proverbs 24 and 27. Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. You have to prepare within before you do the work without. You can't just go out and decide you're going to build a house. You've got to get some plans. You've got to figure it out. You've got to lay everything out. You've got to make everything just right. Then you go out and you build a house. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom needs you. Now tell them, will you go prepare? 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We've already covered that. We must prepare so that we are ready to give an answer. Titus chapter 2 and 1. But speak thou the things which becometh sound doctrine. How are you going to speak sound doctrine if you don't know sound doctrine? And when we do get prepared, Acts 8 and 30 tells us, I love this part. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the chariot. Aren't you glad Philip prepared himself? Otherwise, Philip would have said, wait right here. I'll be right back. I've got to go get the preacher. Because the preacher's the only one that knows what is being said. Hold right here. I'm going to go get John. John's good with Isaiah. Peter, Philip jumped up in. He jumped up in that chariot. And he so well, from the book of Isaiah, he so well explained Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. He did it from the Old Testament. From the Old Testament. And he did such a good job that they went a little further down the old dirt road. That Ethiopian said, whoa, here is much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip did such a good job of explaining those verses that man understood that he needed to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He needed to repent of his sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Philip had prepared himself that even if there was a chariot going down a desert road, he was ready to jump on it and give an answer for what he believed. I beckon to the church tonight. Let's get in the book. Let's learn. Let's prepare ourselves and let's see what God will do in our lives. Everyone, young, middle-aged, old, all of us. Luke 12 and 47. Just a few more minutes. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Knew the will of his master, but prepared himself not. What's the will of our Lord? And you shall be witnesses is the answer. And you shall be. Right? That's the will of God. Go, preach, teach. And the servant who prepared himself not, knowing the will of his master, shall receive many stripes. Tell your neighbor, you need to get a passion to prepare yourself. I'm finishing. 1 Peter 2 and 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Pastor, how do I do it? How do I prepare? What do I do? Paul didn't say, go and learn some deep, theologies or get some doctorates and master degrees and learn Greek and Hebrew and Japan or Japanese or whatever their language is. No. Peter says here, he says, just to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Just get back in the book and start lapping this thing up. He said, you'll grow. And in the next verse, verse number 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm closing. Philippians 2 and 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. And what was the mind of Christ? Look not upon yourself. Look not upon your own need, but look upon the needs of others. We have to go beyond trying to save ourselves. And that's where most of us live. You do realize that, right? That's where most of us live. We're just trying to save ourselves. Every time we come to the house of God, we're repenting over all everything we did all week. We're just coming to get our dose, coming to get our energy, our encouragement, our strength. I'm just coming to get saved. I just want to be saved. Oh, Lord, get me through the day. When we wake up in the morning, oh, God, bring me through the evil world today. Rather than, Lord, am I prepared enough? Do you trust me enough to lead me to a soul today? Is there somebody hurting that I can touch? That I can bring your grace and your mercy and your goodness to? Do I have enough passion, enough love in me that you trust me with someone that's hurting and in need? Stop worrying about yourself and start worrying about others. God made it very plain. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. There's nothing on this planet that will give you more strength than reaching for a soul. You reach for a soul, and all of a sudden those things that bothered you and weighed heavy upon you, they just don't feel as heavy anymore. You're too busy about your Father's business to be worrying about those other things. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine. Let's stand. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Titus 2 and 10, last verse. Not prolonging, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Not prolonging. It's time to get busy preparing ourselves to be used of God. Every eye closed, I want you to say this with me. I need the kingdom. The kingdom needs me. I must prepare to be used of God. There's not a single one of us in this building tonight that does not want to be used by God. Every one of us do. We need to prepare ourselves. And the more you read, the more you let God work on you, the more of God that you get in you, the more you're going to see doors open up in your lives. Now, I talked to you last week about the first 10 lessons. Was that the Wednesday night crowd or the Sunday crowd? About joining up. But, because I'm a softie, I'm going to make it easy on you. Tell your neighbor, Pastor's so awesome. Now, this is what we're going to do. Instead of making you, because I'd have to make you, I know that. Instead of making you show up at church at 10 o'clock for that lesson between 10 and 11, we're going to teach those 10 lessons right here on Wednesday night. Now listen, we're going to take roll call. So we're going to write everybody's name down. And we're going to know whether you completed them or not. And we're going to make you make them up if you don't complete them. They'll be recorded. Now that doesn't give you an excuse to not come because, well, Pastor, give me the recording and I'll make it up while I read my romance novel or something. Sister Kyle. And because I believe we can run you guys through these things. Now, they're sincere milk, but I'm going to tell you what, they'll change your life. They'll change your perspective, everything. And when we get done, they go on to three, we'll go on to the next. They get done with three, we'll. Some of y'all said, well, I went to the 10. Well, just hear it again. Come and hear it again. Pastor preaches the same message often. I just changed the title. You don't have a clue. You think I'm preaching a whole brand new message. All I did was pick another verse and change the title. You're like, my God, I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. I'm like, bro, I preached that 2 months ago, but that's okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Some of y'all come up to me and go, you know, Pastor, you preached that in 1992. I wrote it down right here in my. I'm like, smart aleck. So don't tell nobody else, sister. Nobody else knows. So here, and I mean, how many times you listen to the same song? Some of y'all gonna get in the car on the way home tonight. And y'all gonna put the same dumb song. Y'all heard 157 times. Y'all heard it so many times. Y'all can sing it. Now, y'all can't quote my sermons. So, right? So, come hear the lesson again, even if you went. But we're going to do that. We're going to grow. Now, you listen to Pastor. Don't let this message go to waste. Just because I'm going to teach some lessons on Wednesday to kind of carry you through this process. Say, oh, well, now, see, I don't have to go home and prepare now. I'll prepare on. No, this whole message was about the fact that you need to go home and prepare. Listen. There is a world of difference sitting on your couch with your word, the word in your hand, and you read. God gives you just you. It's just you and Him. And revelation jumps out of that book. Now, I preach tonight. Follow me. When I preach tonight, I can follow you to your car and ask you, what did I preach tonight? And you're going to go, well, I don't know, but it was good. Now, I know that's true because if you ask me tomorrow what I preach tonight, I can't even tell you what I preach. But when you got that book in your hand and it's just you and Him, and revelation jumps out of that book into your heart, it never leaves. There is no comparison. You hear me? You cannot compare what you receive from the preaching. Now, you need that. You can't be saved without it, the body and all of that. But you cannot compare this to what you get in private with you and your Savior from His Word. You get in that, and you begin to prepare, you begin to study, and God's going to open up doors in your life. And you're going to open your mouth, and it's just going to flow. And you're going to walk away going, Me and you, Jesus. We got this. Next. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to use you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness tonight. Your word is so rich and true. And God, this room tonight is full of the greatest Bible scholars that ever walked the face of the earth. The most powerful men and women of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, buried in your name, their sins remitted. Lord, we are going to begin to prepare ourselves in ways like we have never, ever done before. We're going to study your word. We're going to study subjects. We're going to digest the word of God, get it into our spirits and our hearts. We want to be ready to be used by you. Our greatest desire, Lord Jesus, is to be used by you. There's no greater fulfillment in our life, no greater joy that comes to our heart than to know that our God used us to touch someone else. So I pray, Father, tonight, let this word somehow get deep in our heart. Let it go with us. Turn all of us into studiers of your word, digesting the word of God, preparing ourselves to be used by you in the kingdom, because we're all needed. We pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're the greatest people in the world. Greet one another, love one another, be kind to one another, uplift one another. Pray for one another. Be a strength to one another. God bless you. Encourage one another. Say an encouraging word to somebody. Jim, you look good, buddy. You look like you're losing weight. Is that true? You look good.